today on Real Ghost Stories Online. A seventh grader living in a freezing cold bedroom. She refuses to sleep in, finally musters the courage for a sleepover. And when mysterious colored light starts spinning around her doorframe faster and faster, she assumes her brothers are playing tricks. But when she rips the door open, the hallway is empty. And she can't help but wonder if her schizophrenic father wasn't talking to himself all those nights after all.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, that indeed is what it is. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to press subscribe wherever you're getting podcasts. You don't miss any of our episodes. If you haven't noticed, we put out a lot of them every single day, so you can have ghost stories all year long, all day long, and just feel haunted and followed and creeped out, you know, at home.
Wasn't the schizophrenic, uncle or father was
father.
It? Father. Oh, my gosh. That's scary enough, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, when you're a kid, without a doubt. Yeah, I mean, because you don't quite understand all that stuff. And depending on how under control that is, you know, that could be, terrifying. I mean, no way am I disparaging anybody who's schizophrenic or anything like that. But I'm just saying from a perspective of a kid, people can be scary enough, you know? And it's, again, I'm not saying they're scary, but again, if you're a little kid, you don't know what's going on, it can be troubling.
When I was a little kid, I had a cousin who was actually closer to my mom's age. She was very tall. Mm-hmm. And I would call her the lady because she scared the shit out of me. And it was just because she was tall. So that's why I'm saying, like, you know, if you have somebody in your family with mental health issues, I could imagine that would be very scary because a tall lady scared me.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think, you know, it depends, you know, also like how you were brought up and what you were brought up around and how well any of these things were even explained. I mean, especially any sort of mental health disorder. I mean, the way that, you know, someone would talk about it today is very different than someone would have talked about it 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Each one would be a different conversation depending on the
decade. Or no conversation because nobody wanted. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Or like who? Your sister that you grew up with until she had that horrible accident. Oh, she's over in, you know, something hills, you know, pines, shady pines over there. And like, well, what, when's the last, we haven't visited her in 25 years. Like, what the fuck? You know, that's the sort of shit you'd hear. I'm not aware of anything like that. And I think there was like a cousin or something that I don't think it was that extreme. I know people would visit her, but, it's like, oh, I didn't know that person existed until like later in life.
Right.
It's like it just didn't get talked about. They just kind of, if they couldn't handle it, they put them to a place that could when we had state hospitals. And some were great and some were horrific.
I had some older family members, you know, extended family and all that kind of stuff. They were a little off, you know, but nobody talked about it. It was almost like it didn't exist, but you just kind of knew something's going on there. But and my grandfather, who was in World War I, and who was gassed by the Germans, serious, honest to God, was a little nuts. And so Grandpa was scared. Grandpa was very fucking scary.
Yeah,
very scary.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting, you know, just the. He and Harper were talking about this the other day of just the different types of parenting and generational trauma and how it all kind of carries down and really just how much it's changed in just a few generations. But you're starting with people that were like, you know, fucking gassed by the Germans and, you know, they like experienced just the rawest shit imaginable, and then came back and now expected to, okay, go provide for your family, be completely normal and healthy and do a normal job. And we didn't know jack shit about mental health. And all of that was just so in its infancy, and the ideas that they had weren't great. And what ended up being the best prescription was a little place called the VFW.
Right.
And, right. I mean, that was the medical center, essentially, for all intents and purposes of them dealing with things. So you have this, you know, hero, you know, that also has gone through hell, is damaged, you know, mentally, has no way of really dealing with it. So you get all these bizarre parents that are, you know, out of control, anger, PTSD, abusive. And I'm sure you get great ones too, but you get everything. And because everybody has this level of shell shock to them, there's this like just level of fucking let it be. We survived, you know, and that generation, you know, they made the boomers, and they're a great generation, but that's, I think, the mindset after surviving something like that. And then you get the boomers and then all everything that they're made up of. And then the pendulum starts to shift a little bit more every which way. And now you have this weird cornucopia of, it's not even generational anymore. I think personalities, it's always been in its own lane of families, but I think it's even more so than ever, where there is such stark differences between every single person's family.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Dramatic, you know, there used to be more of a community where everybody's kind of, you know, it was fairly interchangeable to the most, you know, but now it's like, holy Jesus, you know, and it's in, and I'm talking about like the way people treat each other is the main, my main thing there is, it's, you know, loving, absolute shit, horrific, you know, great. I mean, and it's all intermixed and it's just like Jesus Christ, you know, so you have some that are completely tone deaf to each other and others who are like, what the fuck's wrong with you, Snowflake? Because they've been through hell and back. And it's such a mismatch now of our mental capabilities than I think it's ever been in the past.
Yeah. I don't know if we're turning the corner to better times when it comes to this stuff, or if we just keep languishing and really not fixing the ultimate issue, which is dealing with it, talking about it, and getting some help with it, you know?
Yeah.
So you know, my grandfather was scary only because he didn't talk much. He spoke German a lot because his parents were right from Germany.
Yeah.
And he also, because he was born in like, I think 1898 or something like that, he still believed in witches and stuff like that. So he would, you know, he wouldn't go out at night, can't go outside because the witches might get you, you know? So you put that all together, and it comes to a very scared child growing
up. No shit. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I kind of wish I had that belief. It's been kind of fun. Like, come on, my puppies, get in. The witches are coming. Witches. Like, there's coyotes. So, but witches, you know?
I think, like, even on Halloween, he'd burn, like, bonfires and shit to keep.
Oh, shit.
Wow. Yeah.
That's cool.
That's, you know, I'm getting up in age, I'm like, yeah, it's going to be me one day. I'll be out in my backyard burning bonfires to keep the witches away. And Tony will be like checking in on me every once in a while. You doing okay, buddy?
You got the witches coming? You keeping them away, Todd? Okay. Hey, if you ever want to do that podcast thing again, let me know.
Let me know. And I'm out there picking up sticks in my backyard so I can start a fire, you know?
I appreciate the craftsmanship of these inverse crucifixes that you're hanging from the trees, but the people in the HOA are saying they're having an issue with it. They actually, it's a new amendment they're going to try this weekend.
I'm sending everybody those in the mail. So like you're getting inverted crucifixes and stuff as a gift. That's going to be your wedding gift, by the way. I'm going to give you something to keep the witches away.
What is this?
You just lean over to your wife. Just smile and say just thank smile. You.
Thank him. Just thank him.
Say thank
Don't
you.
Don't make him mad. Oh. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a call here. And what are we on? We are on call three. Four? No, I think we already did three.
Okay. Yeah, that's
we're on. Okay, must be four. Okay, all here right. we go. Four.
This is Chris from Stuart, Florida. I'm calling to tell you about my story. I'm a skeptic. At least I was until I went on a trip up to South Carolina. I went to go see my sister and her husband, and they wanted to take me on a ghost hunting trip. And we started out. The night was fun. We got together behind a Krispy Kreme donut factory, which was I thought was really neat. And we ended up praying into this. The ceremony, the night, I guess. We would sit there and we all prayed for a good night and safe and just to reveal something. So we went out there and I was totally, didn't know what to expect, but I didn't really expect anything. I've been on a ghost hunting trip before and I really didn't do anything. So we went out and we had K2 meters and a ghost box. So we went to one site and it was like a bridge and supposedly you would feel something try to push you almost off the bridge if you got too close. Nothing really happened there. The ghost box kept telling us not to go a certain way. So the lady said, do not go that way. So we didn't. We went to the next site and this is where things got interesting. There we met a spirit and it was through the ghost box revealed its name was Rachel. And we found out she had a kid with her and it was from like the old stagecoach days. And this one girl who originally in the beginning of the night said she wanted to be touched, she got her wish. It was about 30 degrees outside and all of a sudden she said it was hot and she pulled down her scarf and her jacket and she had three scratches right down her from her shoulder to heading towards her chest. And it was very hot. Like there was nowhere she could like get caught on like a branch or anything. And it wasn't something she did to herself because I was near her the whole time and it just didn't happen. So that kind of freaked us all out a little bit. So we went, the lady who was running the thing said, everybody back in the car. So we went to another site. And at the end of it, we were at the last site. There was, the ghost box was going off and we were asking questions. We asked how many were there and it said five. And then like 2 seconds later, it said like eight. And the woman running the ghost hunting trip said that sometimes it just gives out random numbers. Well, after she said that, through the ghost box came three more just came. And I was freaked out. I'm like, well, that thing just did math. So I was like, that was pretty crazy. Afterwards, we had they had some holy water because in the past, I guess somebody brought some spirits home with them. So I took some of that holy water and just pretty much bathed in it. So that was my experience. It was short, but it was crazy. And I definitely am not a skeptic anymore. And I love your show, and it gets me through my long nights of work. And I hope you guys have a good night. Have a good one. Bye.
Well, that's a bit creepy.
What part of it? The fact that, excuse me, it's the second story today as we're recording this that had the name Rachel in it. Did you notice that?
Mm-hmm.
That is odd.
That sort of shit happens here.
Rachel.
Do you think it's anybody who's listening today who's named Rachel should be being aware? Because maybe it's a message for you that you're the next contestant on The Price is Right. I don't know.
Maybe it's a message for me. Maybe I need to look at my old girlfriend, see what she's up to.
Maybe.
Dear Rachel.
Maybe.
I did try to look her up a few years ago.
Yeah.
Never found her. I don't know whatever happened to her.
It's interesting when people just disappear off the map.
Yeah.
You know?
She was a girl that was not from our area. She moved into the area.
Yeah.
And she looked a lot like Molly Ringwald.
No kidding. Yeah.
So, I grew up during the time of Breakfast Club and all that kind of stuff. So it was like, oh my God, I'm dating Molly Ringwald. But I wasn't.
Yeah. But if you tell yourself that enough, it's not creepy or weird or anything.
Rachel.
That's, so there you go. There's a Rachel listening today that, the weirdness of the name coming up more than once. It's, I know who would have the answer.
Who?
It's a message that she needs to go to Jim Baker in Branson, Missouri, and go and buy some of his stuff because then you'll get the message as to what that all means.
It'll what kind of stuff is above. Jimmy selling?
I don't know what he's up to these days down there, but he
wasn't there water or something. At one
it was
time?
Water. Yeah, he had like the silver laced water or some shit that was supposed to kill COVID. And I think he got sued for that. I think the government sued him for that because it was like some audacious claim. But he kind of like he built a little compound thing there again, nowhere near as big as, you know, round one. But it's, I know exactly where it is. It's own little enclave kind of out there by the lake, near Branson.
How does somebody get away with that twice in their life?
People like, are dumb
to get away with it once and to have all the turmoil and the way it ended and then to turn around and do it. And this time be almost a little bit more blatant about it because, you know, at one point it was all about the religion and all that kind of stuff. Now he's selling water laced with silver. Like,
well, I think it's pretty simple. They trauma bonded with him once, then he went away. And like any good abuser does, they come back and they're all too willing to, you know, see he's back. He's changed. He's found the Lord in a different way. And he's still he's like Ronco now. But he's God said, look, he's got these messages. He wears a cross. He's reformed. He doesn't have hair. It's, you know, Tammy's gone. And it's, you know, it's trauma bonding. I mean, I don't think there's anybody probably under the age of 75 that, you know, has any sort of thing with Jim Baker anymore. But I think that's, you know, there was for a while. And I just think, you know, he had so many to begin with. There's, you know, there's always bound to be a, for the millions he had a freaking theme park, you know.
It's true.
There's bound to be at least a couple hundred or a couple thousand more that, you know, have great memories of being big Jim Baker supporters back in the day. And, you know, they want to relive the magic. Their kids are gone. They're lonely. They're also extremely influenceable. If it wasn't this cult, it'd be another one. And they trauma bonded to the minister on TV because there wasn't actual human connection in their real lives. So because of that, that's their connection. So when he's back and better than ever, boom, Branson.
I guess I never even thought about that. What was the name of their club? The I want to say TLC, but it wasn't. It was the PPL.
Yeah. Yeah, the something. It was the PL. Was it PLC or
PLO? I mean, that's something else. That's the Palestinian Liberation Organization.
As you look that up, and I'm going to be right back because I have show and tell over here, too.
Okay, that sounds good. PTL Club, the Praise the Lord People That Love Club. It started back in the 70s, and I think it blew up in 1987. Yeah, after there was some hush money with the secretary, all that good stuff. Jim Baker's son, I think his name is Jim, is actually a pastor now for a very reformed church. What did you? Oh, I already know what you went to get.
But wait, there's more.
Speaking of stereos.
And if you call right now, you too can get this. It's the Tammy Sings, You Can Make It. This is, for those of you listening to the podcast, I'm holding up an album. And it is, I found this at an antique store. And it was so just like horrifically, I just had to get it because I'm like, this is hilarious. Jim Baker has a striped shirt on that incidentally reminds me a lot of Epstein's building.
Oh my God, yes. And
the blue stripes. And he's holding a parrot on his shoulder. That's an interesting connection to having a building that looks like it's a tropical island on your shirt and a parrot on your shoulder. Oh. Honestly to God, I'm just kind of making that observation.
Doesn't that just kind of look just like the All-American family sitting there? If oh you got God. A parrot, you got a son. Yeah. Yeah.
Was Epstein was more after Baker's time, though, wasn't he? I mean,
I think so.
But why the fuck do you have a parrot on your shoulder? You singing You Can Make It? Why do you have a shirt that looks like Epstein Island and a parrot on your shoulder?
That poor little boy. That little boy looks traumatized, doesn't he?
They all look traumatized. I mean, Tammy looks high. And that poor girl, like, Jesus Christ. And he looks like, yeah, I don't. And in the back, you have Tammy Faye with a sweatband on and headphones down around her chin, like she's doing We Are the World or some shit. And looks like she's kind of slash jazzercising and singing at the same time.
For those that know the reference of Olivia Newton-John in the video Physical, that's what she looks like. That's she's got the headband on. And yeah.
So there you go.
But again, this goes back to
part of the RTL club,
all the shit you've got in your house. And like, I realize that's an oddity. It's an interest.
Props.
Yeah.
Here's in the upper room. This is Tammy. She's looking a little less high. Yeah, there she is. And in the back, she's kind of she's doing a shorter style on the hair there. But
it's not an attractive picture of her.
It's not. It's really a bizarre haircut for her. But the hits here are In the Upper Room, I'm Saved, Higher Ground, I'm Going In, His Eye Is on the Sparrow. And then side two, who can forget side two? The Comforter Has Come. It's weird that she spelled that with a U. He don't
see. Both words, Comforter.
Is that, why does he have a parrot over here? The Comforter Has Come.
Yes.
The question is it the parrot or is it Jim?
Yeah.
And You Believe in Me, I'm Coming Home and Count Me In.
So, jeez.
You Can Make It. It's great.
Actually, I think you can buy those from Jim Baker now. He's put them back in reprint.
Wouldn't so, they? Yeah. The Tammy Faye Memorial Collection.
50 bucks a piece and they're yours.
That's like, it's crazy how much records are. Like when I go to the store, I'm like, oh, I might get this. And I'm like, holy shit. It's like, or I can just say it aloud and it'll play anywhere in my home. But for some reason, I'm like kind of getting, I have a record player upstairs. It's the same one from Y96 FM.
That's right.
And it still works wonderfully. I've never had it looked at. It still plays like the day I stole it. I got permission for the records.
Okay, right.
Not the players, the player. But I took the players. Anyway.
Yeah.
If a figure was me or the raccoons or somebody was going to destroy them at that point because the ceiling was literally falling in on the building. Anyway, I never know where I was going with that.
I don't know either, but yes.
But there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you'd like to share your real ghost stories with us, we, incidentally, would love to hear them. What have we got here? Let's wrap up this one.
All right.
And if you want access to the bonus episodes, check out Patreon. Just search Real Ghost Stories Online or Apple Podcast, our premium channel there as well, and get access to everything ad-free, all the extras. It's all there. Check it out. We do greatly appreciate it, and I think you'll enjoy it as well. All right. Press subscribe wherever you're listening. Until next time, for Todd and Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.